Welcome to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips, your host on this beautiful winter afternoon. At least it's afternoon in my part of the country. We're continuing to get snow here, and so we're going to continue our series on cold weather winter avoidance. This will be number four in this series. Now, as always, if you have any questions that you'd like to have me address in our programs, you can send them via email to askjim@preparemyfamily.com or leave a voicemail on the toll-free number 888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, the letter U, get set. And we'll be happy to address things and put them together as a part of our program. You know, my passion is to share with people about how to become prepared for the future, no matter what it may bring. To be prepared in such a way that you don't have to fear events or life as it happens. And, of course, I think a lot of us have used that term sometime that says, you know what, life happens. Well, it does. Whatever the source and how and why, we need to be ready for those things. The challenge I also have is how do we get everybody kind of up to the same speed, kind of on the same page? I'll do a few quick reviews here in just a moment. But this is a series, and here's how you can learn the greater depth on what we've been teaching. One of the things I truly appreciate is what the folks at RBN have done in providing the archive where you can hear the past programs. I'm doing this as a series, one after another. Go back and listen to those previous programs. Now, in this continuing series, number four, in the winter injury avoidance, if you'll just back up three programs from the one we're doing today, and listen to those, that'll help you understand why and how I teach what I teach. The other challenge that I have is to keep this a very, I'll say it, a upbeat subject, but not get flippant, because in a way it's very serious when they're talking about disasters and catastrophes. And I know there's some people that have been hurt and injured, may have lost loved ones. So I don't want to make light of anything, but also I don't want to get glum and gloom and doomy about stuff, because, like I said, life happens. In fact, here's the truth about life. There's no doubt that tomorrow will come, and there's no dispute that things happen. But how you're prepared to meet tomorrow will make all the difference in the world. If you're prepared for the worst, then no matter what happens, it will be an adventure. And that's the way that I believe it's supposed to be. Life is a wonderful adventure for us to learn and grow and develop and change and become more than we were in the beginning. The first law of survival, if you haven't heard this before, first law of survival, if you're going to make it through very tough times, it's all a matter of luck. Of course, understand what luck stands for. That is an acronym for laboring under correct knowledge. The second law of survival, you must learn and practice CPR right now. CPR, in our case, stands for courage, patience, and resourcefulness. And I don't give you just a list of all the stuff you should go out and buy. Because if I just tell you the things to buy, and I could give you a long list of wonderful things, first off, most of us can't necessarily afford all those things. There's an order of priority to them. But if you just had the stuff, when things happen, you may just give up and die because you've got to know what to do with them. The law of freedom. First part of that's the definition of fear. What is fear? Fear is ignorance. The description of freedom is this. It is impossible to fear anything for which you have true and complete knowledge, best spoken in the Bible in John 8:32, and the truth shall make you free. We talk about parachutes. If you're going to have a parachute to save your life, well, that's kind of a preparedness idea. If you're going to fall out of a plane, jump out of a plane, or get thrown out of a plane, you have to have it on before you need it. You have to have it on when you need it. You have to know how to use it. You have to actually use it, and it must be of life-saving quality. If you fail in any one of those tests on a parachute, it will not save your life. So it is with the provisions you make for the future. The law of provident living has really four parts to it. There's an order of priority to these that's extremely important for you to understand. When I say law of provident living, it's not just about emergency. It's about life in general. I'll cover those four with you briefly right after this break.
Mm-hmm. The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Provident living, the order of priority. Very top of the list, I like to use the keyword spiritual. There's more to you than meets the eye, and I think most of you, if not all of you, know that, and you must take care of that above everything else, or the rest of this stuff just doesn't even matter. Number two is the one that makes a difference between whether you live or die, and the key word is attitude. You lose your attitude, you lose your life. It's as simple as that. I don't care how bad it gets. If you have an attitude that says, I can, I will, I must, there's some way, I'm going to make it, you've got a chance, far better chance than somebody who says, I guess I don't know what to do, I'm going to just give up and die. Well, that'll probably happen, and that, by the way, that's a lousy attitude. We don't want to foster that. How do you change attitudes? It's really number three on this list. Actually, it's a combination of number one and number three, because see, if your spiritual foundation is in place, what's your attitude about so many things? It's like, you know, there's got to be a way. And if I don't have an answer, I know who to go ask to give me an answer if I'm willing to listen to that inspiration that comes through the Spirit. But the other part of it is as we gain knowledge. Knowledge helps you change your attitude. Of course, that's what spiritual understanding is, or knowledge. Knowledge is simply this. It is information multiplied by experience. My job is to help give you the correct, proper, true information and then motivate you or inspire you to go play with it, do something with it, make it a part of your life. It's only information until you use it and do something with it becomes a part of you. Then number four on the list, of course, is stuff, the material things. They're vitally important and we need them, but the order of priority is spiritual, attitude, knowledge, and then stuff. Now, when we talk about stuff, in my classes, expanded classes, I talk about it as being the principle of wilderness wisdom. And that's all about material things. That's what stuff is. It breaks into two parts. We call it the preparedness or survival parachutes, and we also then have the permanent or long-term provisions. Here's the preparedness parachutes, the material things. They are clothing, water, sanitation, and special needs. Go back to previous classes, and you can learn more about those if you haven't heard them in depth. The long-term provisions are clothing, water, and sanitation starts out the same, and then it's number four is nutrition, five is shelter, six is wellness, seven is tools, and eight are supplies. You must understand those eight areas, but it's simple if you start digging into them categorized like that, that everything you need physically fits into one of those eight categories. Now, in this winter and cold weather safety we've been talking about, I think we started that back on program probably 12, if I remember right, and I encourage you to go back and listen to the previous three programs if you want to learn about winter safety and cold weather injury avoidance. But also refer back to program number 3 and number 4 and number 5. That was all about the first parachute, which is clothing, and you can review the fundamentals on clothing and cold weather clothing, and also go through the description of how you can produce some of your own clothing that will outperform things that you can buy. Previous classes in this four-part series here, we've had things about emergent foot or trench foot on snow blindness, but in particular we went into depth on frostbite and especially hypothermia. Those are things that you wish to avoid. Last week's class was about caring for the body with proper clothing and nutrition, and that's your first line of defense. When you have nutrition right, when you have clothing right, when you're taking care of the body properly, it will do amazing things. I don't mean standing out barefoot in the snow, but you've got to have the proper clothing, and that's what the previous classes are about to help you understand that. Well, we're not just going to be outside in the snow, and we're going to talk some today about shelter and about heat and about some of the considerations here, some of the safety things in particular, because every year, there are several people who die because they break some rules. I don't mean they freeze to death outside. They die in their own homes because they do some things improperly, unsafely, in ignorance, but yet it still costs them dearly. It's kind of a matter of style on how we're going to live. And I'll just give you a real quick rundown on a couple of these. Let's call it the modern home style. It's a great place to be. And we have our utilities and our resources and our infrastructure around us, and we can enjoy living at home. Some people live in a little more, I'll say, primitive situation, and others it's all very automatic and nicely taken care of. I enjoy being at home, but I want to have a home that can take me through even if I lose all my utilities and things. We'll talk about that. There's kind of what I would now characterize as the sportsman style. That's what the RV is. Whether it's something you drag behind a vehicle or you just sit in it and drive, you know, that's kind of a fun way to do it. But how do you take care of that thing? What do you do if it gets stranded out there also when you run out of some of your supplies? You have the woodsman style, which is kind of the tents and the backpacking and the mountaineering and those things, a fun way to go. I travel that way and enjoy that. We can get a little more primitive in what we might call the mountain man style, more of the natural materials, more working with things in nature. Then we have another, it's kind of a mountain man style, but it's the old Eskimo style when we're talking about cold weather and winter. Living out in the environment and using the snow as a part of your shelter, it's a great way to go. And then we have kind of the what we now call the PAL style, that's the Phillips Arctic Living System. We've been talking about the clothing and some of these things that will let you do that. And really, PALs is just taking some of the best of each one of those and putting it together using some new materials and a new way of understanding things. And so go back again, listen to previous programs to hear more about that. Now, we're going to come back in a few minutes and spend time centered around your home and some of the things there and around vehicles. And also I've had questions about what do you do in case of, you know, such and such. Those are some of the things that we will be talking about here in this program. Now, let's talk about being out in the snow. And I'm not here to convince everybody to become a snow camper, and maybe you live in a part of the country where you don't have any snow. Well, that's fine. But you might visit a place that has some snow. You may have family that has lives where there's snow nowadays. In fact, I was doing a lecture series years ago talking about cold weather and winter preparedness, and I was down in Florida. And I was scheduled on this tour, and I was going like, what in the world am I doing here? I mean, my goodness, these people in the Florida, I mean, they don't see snow, let alone frost or anything. But it was one of the largest groups that we had, and I was amazed by that. I asked people there, I said, why are you here? I'm this goofy guy from up north and out west who talks about winter camping and snow and being prepared for emergencies at zero and below. You guys live down here where it's if it gets down to 60, you know, you're putting on sweaters. I said, why are you here to listen to me? And their answer surprised me, but it makes sense. First off, a lot of them said, we used to live in Minnesota. We moved down here to get away from it. We go back home and we visit family there. Some people said, and we travel. We go different places, whether for family or business. We might get caught, and we're not well prepared to deal with the snow anymore. And I thought, okay, that makes sense. And of course, if you've listened to these previous programs, you understand it doesn't have to get real cold for you to be suffering in the cold or suffering from the cold. I was close to Baton Rouge or someplace on this same tour, and talking to some folks there, and there's one cute little, I would say she's probably a grandmother. I asked the same question, why are you here? You live in the South where it doesn't snow and it doesn't get below zero. You know, last time it was below zero was during the Ice Age 10,000 years ago. And this lady spoke up and she said, honey, he says, it doesn't have to get below freezing down here, but when it gets to 35 and the humidity's high, we is dying down here. And I thought, yeah, you're right. You know, it doesn't have to be below freezing for you to be miserable. And as a matter of fact, you can lose your life in above freezing. 40 degrees in the rain with wind and you're not prepared with it and you're just stuck outside someplace, that'll kill you. You'll go into hypothermia and you'll lose it if you don't change some things or somebody come along and save you. So anyway, you need to be prepared to deal with colder weather. But let's talk about snow for a few moments. Here's something about snow that's extremely important for you to understand. I think you remember when we were talking about clothing and we talked about how you get wet in the snow, which was one of the issues. I asked the question of people, what is snow? And the answer very simply is, well, snow is just water that got cold enough. It's now in its frozen state or in its solid state. But what else makes up snow when we talk about snow? It's stiff water, frozen water. And it's air. It's all whipped up with air. As a matter of fact, you know, if you take a gallon like the snow that we have here in our mountains, this dry powder, 10 gallons of snow will melt down to about 1 gallon of water. It's about 10 to 1, maybe even 12 to 1 in some cases. So it's got a lot of air in it. And if you have heavier snow, okay, it's 5 gallons makes 1 gallon. It still has a lot of air in it. It's all puffed up. What does that tell you about the snow? It tells you that it's actually a pretty good insulator. Now, in order for it to stay snow, you have to keep it frozen. So we're not talking about building a snow structure, getting inside and cranking the temperature up to 80 degrees. That won't last because your insulated structure will fall down. But using snow is an insulator. Please understand that. In an emergency, it can be much, much warmer, safer, more comfortable to be down underneath the snow, inside the snow. And so we use snow structures or ways of using the snow over and around us so that it helps to insulate us. In other words, if I was outside and the air temperature, well, let me give you an example. This first Arctic trip that my dad and I took, we were above the Arctic Circle. This is 1967. We had left our main igloo that was out on the ice a little ways, and we had gone in working with the scout troop there in Barrow, Alaska, and we were taking the Eskimo Boy Scouts snow camping and winter camping because they didn't do that very much up there. They were just didn't do that, and their leaders were not familiar with that, the teachers and instructors up there, so they didn't take them snow camping. So we thought we would take them snow camping, and we did. So we took these Boy Scouts up there snow camping, and we're gone from our igloo for a couple of days. And this will fit in right what I was talking about. Snow is such a wonderful insulator, and there's advantages of being underneath the snow. I'll continue right after this break.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
So here we are, Point Barrow, Alaska, February and March of 1987. We're up there on our own private expedition, vacation, ultimate snow camp, winter camp, using the PAL system as we've been developing it. And we took these Eskimo Boy Scouts out snow camping. We were gone from our igloo for the 2 days and a night. And nobody's been in it. It's been just out there on the sea ice, sitting out there. When we returned to it, here's what we found. Now, first off, we were curious about the conditions up there, so we had one of these thermometers, you know, that would measure inside temperature and outside temperature. The outside temperature, when we came back, it was 30 below zero. We came inside this igloo where nobody has been. The temperature was 10 above zero. That's a 40-degree increase in temperature. Now, 10 above zero is really toasty compared to 30 below outside. So you see that snow is a good insulator. Now, you might say, well, where's that heat coming from? Well, in this case, since we're out on the pack ice, on the ice, you actually have the ocean that's underneath the ice, even though the ice in that place was probably 2-3 feet thick. It still has this relatively warm water down below there, and that's where some of that heat's coming up from, and it's being trapped inside of this igloo. The same thing will happen with ground. The ground temp, maybe the ground temperature is zero, but if the outside air temperature is 40 below zero, guess what? It's going to be warmer inside because snow is a good insulator because it's full of air. And that's the only thing we use to insulate in our clothing and other things. We just trap, stabilize, non-moving air. So that's why I tell you that you use snow as an insulator. It's different kinds of snow structures that you can use. Let me tell you the simplest one that we started with in the very, very beginning was we learned this. This is back in the late 50s and early 60s when we started doing snow camping. Now, our sleeping bags were not all that great. We're just using kind of standard sleeping bags and blankets and stuff, and they were lousy, and those were miserable trips. But one of the things that you would do is we had our sleeping bags that are wrapped up in a plastic sheet. And you've heard me talk about this in previous classes, a 12-foot by 12-foot, 4-mil thick visqueen, the polyethylene plastic that's used in construction. You fold that up around your bed and roll it up. In fact, out here, a lot of the scouts that I've taught, they start calling it the burrito. You roll your bed up very much like a burrito with one end tucked underneath and slide down inside. Well, what we would do is you put that down in a little snow trench, a little depression in the snow, and then you put a little snow over top of the bed. Now, you can't bury it very deep because snow's, you know, it's kind of heavy. It has some weight. It's going to mash your bed down and make it difficult to get in. But just a few inches of snow over top and how it seals up around the bed, you sleep warmer buried in the snow in a plastic sheet than you will just staying out on top of the ground, especially if the temperatures are cold, especially if the wind is blowing, because now you're down out of the wind and you're out of the, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 below zero air. You're down inside of the snow where it may be zero or 10 above, and that certainly is warmer. Well, that was the simplest, and the first thing that we did was bury your sleeping bags in a rolled up in a plastic sheet down in the snow. Here's other snow structures you can use. The snow cave, and most people have heard about that, where you find a snow bank. And now be careful the kind of snow bank you're finding, because if you're on a steep slope and you have a carnage that's built up and you go digging into that thing, you're going to find yourself an avalanche victim. You don't want to do that. But there are safe areas where snow is kind of piled up by the wind. When wind has driven the snow kind of, it sticks together and freezes together. It becomes very hard. Most of you may have seen that where you have wind-drifted snow. And you can tunnel up inside of that and hollow out an area to go into and make your home. You're out of the wind again. You're down inside of the snow. Disadvantage of a snow cave is, first off, it takes a lot of work. You have to hollow out this cavern, and all the inside that you want to evacuate of the snow, you have to move it. And then very often you're down in the snow, crawling around in it and dragging it over you and around you. And if your clothing isn't of the kind of clothing I've described earlier, where it's melts snow, if you will, you're going to get yourself wet. So standard clothing is going to get you, you can get wet when you're down in the snow. If you're using things like the Powell's clothing we talk about, where you have sufficient thickness of insulation that you don't melt the snow, you're going to stay dry. You may get sweaty, but that moisture will pass right to the outside. So the snow cave is a great way to go, and I've used those through the years. Of course, we think about building things like the igloos and the snow houses I'll talk about, and if you have the right kind of snow and you understand how to do it, it's a wonderful thing to do. But suppose you're out in a very kind of a flat area and you don't have good wind-drifted snow. The other thing that you can build, and this takes a lot of work too, because you have to move the snow twice, you build what's called a quanchi or a snow mound house or a snow dome, it's sometimes called, by literally taking the snow, and with a snow shovel, you just pile it up. Now, you're disturbing the snow, and one of the things that happens when you disturb snow, in fact, you want to disturb it and throw it and hit it and those kinds of things, because the crystals of the ice, when they're compacted, you see, if you remember, water, when it freezes, it expands slightly. That's why ice cubes float. That's why it'll break, rock, and it'll bust things that is controlled inside. You know, if you put it inside of a metal container and freeze it, it can split the can. It's because the ice expands. Well, If you compress ice, it also melts just a little bit. It makes these grains stick together, so this mound of snow is going to start freezing solid and make a lump. And this is where we're going to build our snow cave, if you will. More on this right after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
This is an urgent RBN Financial Bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm Jim Phillips, your host on this beautiful winter day in our part of the country where it's continuing to snow again and again. We are enjoying that. If you have any questions, you can send them via email to askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. My staff will pick those up and get them to me. You can also leave your voicemail messages on a toll-free line at 1-888-YOU-GET-SET. That's 888-YOU-GET-SET. I pick up those questions and we'll add them into our program as we go along and be sure that we get them answered. Also, if there's some that we need to, we'll get back with you individually. Something else I'd encourage you to do, if you haven't done this already, I have a two-hour principle-based DVD on the fundamentals of preparedness and the key principles and laws that you can get for the cost of delivering it to you, which is $5.50, you can get that by emailing or leaving a message on that toll-free line. Or you can go to the website, which is preparemyfamily.com. That's preparemyfamily.com, and there's a button on there for the DVD giveaway. We're giving the information away just for the cost of getting it to you. That'll get you started with these principles that I talk about. Now then, back to our snow mound house, sometimes known as a Quanchi or a snow dome. You pile up the snow. Now, you might make it, you know, 4 feet high, 5 feet high. The disadvantage, as I said, is you got to pile the snow up. That's a lot of work. Let it set. It's best to let it set, if you will, overnight, because it's really going to set up, and particularly on the outside where it's colder, if the nighttime temperatures are cold. By the way, you can't build one of these things at 40 degrees. We're talking about when the temperatures are well below freezing. Even below zero, it will work. Now, the colder it is, the more you need to disturb the snow to be sure that you've impacted those crystals so they'll start to fuse together and stick together, and so you can go inside and hollow it out. Now, some people ask, well, how do you know how thick the wall is so you don't stick your shovel or your saw through the side? Well, if you do it during the daytime, you can kind of see the light. You'll begin to kind of adjust where you begin to see it getting kind of bright in a spot and you're getting a little bit thin. But that takes experience. That takes having built a few of these. The simplest way of doing it is if you'll take some sticks. Now, you could do it just with branches off a tree if this is emergency setting out there. You like them to be at least 8 inches long, maybe up to about 10 inches long. Take these sticks that you've cut out of some wood or little branches on a tree, and as you finish making your pile, then you take these sticks and you just stick them all over the mound of snow. And maybe about every 2 feet in every direction, a little closer would be nice. So now when you're digging in there and you hit the end of a stick, don't dig anymore because now you know how thick the wall is. It's a simple little trick that will allow you to hollow out this snow mound and turn it into a snow cave. This is where you don't have snow that's naturally piled up that you could dig up into to make a snow cave. This is making a snow drift that you can then hollow out. Here again, it's a lot of work because you had to pile up the snow once, and then you had to take about half of it back out of the inside. So it is a lot of work, but it will give you a shelter that will get you out of the wind. It will get you down where in the side of the snow where it's going to be warmer than being out in the outside air, particularly if it's going to be very, very cold. Now, if outside air temperatures are like 20 degrees, you're not going to find it a whole lot warmer inside. It might be 28, 29 degrees without any heat in there. It'll be a little bit warmer, but it'll get you out of the wind, and that's the one thing that'll really help you, particularly if you're in a windy area. Get inside of one of these structures, and it's absolutely elegant to be in there because you're not outside where the wind's blowing on you. When we went to Alaska that first time in 1967, and we were up there building our igloos that we had learned to build in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado and northern New Mexico, where we had been snow camping for years, we were up there and building our igloo. And it was kind of interesting, and we didn't fully appreciate this, but it was very interesting. While we were building them, we had some of the Eskimo people come by from the village up there, and they came out and they said, the beautiful, quiet, intelligent people, but they were very quiet, kind of a shy people. Wouldn't say a whole lot for a little while. They'd just come and stand and watch, and then finally one of them would say, would you show us how to build one of these igloos? We've never seen one built before. Now, that might almost sound funny because we think of the Eskimo, the Inuit people, as always living in snow houses, in igloos. And the Alaskan Eskimos, they didn't do that. They lived in sod houses in the winter and in skin tents on the beach in the summer. Now, this is the far north ones. And they had not used the dome-shaped snow house. That's more of an eastern Eskimo, more on the Canadian side towards Greenland, is where those people used the dome-shaped snow house we call the igloo. Actually, igloo is a very generic term, but you've come to use the word igloo to mean a dome-shaped snow house. So we had igloo building classes for the Eskimos up there, showed them how to build them. In exchange, they showed us how to build what they call the snow house, and this is what a hunter would use when he was on the trail, when he would go after a caribou. He'd go inland, and it was time to set up his camper if he got jumped by a horrific storm. He'll build a little snow house that we'd never thought about building. And essentially, you can think of it as being a pup tent made out of snow, you know, a little triangular-shaped tent that's pointed on top, except instead of using a fabric or a cloth, we're using snow blocks. And what you do is you cut these snow blocks out of the trench, and you peek them up over top of the trench to close it in, close off the one end, and then the Eskimo hunter would use a skin, a fur skin flap, a blanket over the end to close off the end, and he'd slide down inside of this thing. It's a small little tent. It's a little one-man or two-man. It could be big enough for two people that you cut. And the thing is, when you have the right snow and once you have a little skill, you can build one of these things in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I mean, it's faster than setting up a tent, trying to fuss with a tent and stake them out and do all the things you have to do. You can slice these blocks of snow and peek them over the top, close it in, chink it, and slide down inside so you're jumped by a blizzard and you've got the right kind of snow slipped down into your snow house. They taught us how to build those, and I've used those many, many times because they're quick and easy to build. Now, here's the trick about cutting snow blocks. First off, people ask and say, what kind of a snow knife do you need? Well, you can buy fancy snow knives, and they'll charge you $30 or $40 for one of those things. But you know what the best snow knife is? Go down to a secondhand store and find an old wood saw. You want one that's straight, and you'd like to have one that's a rip saw with the bigger teeth would be fine, but you can use a crosscut with the smaller teeth is just fine. Get one that's straight and you know, regular length of an old handsaw. There's your snow knife. Cost you $4 to get one of those things instead of $40 to buy a dedicated snow knife. Does a wonderful job of cutting snow. The trick is, how do you know to have the right kind of snow? This is something you just have to play with, but I would encourage you, get a snow saw. Get one of your older ones that you have right now. And where the snow has been blowing and drifting and the snow is kind of hard and kind of, you know, it's not just crusty on top, but I mean it's hard all the way down, just slice back into it with your saw. Cut it out and start to understand that you can cut blocks out of the snow. Now, for a snow house, we're going to cut it probably, the trench is going to be about 2 foot wide, and it's going to end up being about the depth of the saw, which is probably about 14, 16 inches deep. So I'm going to cut them about 2 foot by around 14 inches, 16 inches deep. And the thickness on them will depend a little bit on the snow. You might go as thin as, some cases I've been able to go down to about 4 to 5 inches. Usually you're 6 to 8. And you'll cut these things, and then you'll just set them along the side of the trench, and then longwise, just one from each side, and they're just peek them together, and they hold because they're falling against each other. They're leaning. And by the way, after that snow with that pressure at that point, the top up there, it kind of leans for a little while. It freezes together solid, and it freezes in down at the foot where they're sitting on the surface of the snow. To keep it from sliding out to begin with, you might cut just a little bit of a kind of a I'll say a groove in there where the foot of them will hit against, and so it won't spread and slide out and fall in on you. Just come down that trench starting at the foot end over there where you've laid out your blocks and come along and peek them over top, walk up towards the opening end. Be sure you build it extra long. You'll build this thing, you know, 10, 12 foot long would be nice. And then you can put your ground cloth, plastic sheet, however you're sleeping in there. We use the plastic sheet above snow on top or down underneath, and the bed wrapped up inside of it with your sleeping mat down in there. Slide down inside of this thing. You like to have some kind of a closure over the end, either a piece of plastic, or I like to use fabric, a very tightly woven fabric. Like, you know, these fabric shower curtains, if you have an old fabric shower curtain, the plastic ones will get brittle and hard on you and won't work, but the cloth ones, and they get kind of, you know, maybe a little used up or you need to change color or something like that. Take one of those things because they're tightly woven, they're thin, they're lightweight. Drape that over the end and you'll have it weighted down with snow up on the top, and you can slide down inside on behind that curtain, get down in there, and then put some snow around on the bottom of it from the inside. If the wind is blowing, you're down inside of it, and it's absolutely wonderful. Here's the beauty about being in a snow house or an igloo or one of these things. You can have a tremendous screaming, howling blizzard outside, and as long as you've chinked it very well so there's no cracks or where the snow can come through, the wind can come through, you cannot tell there's a blizzard going on outside because the snow doesn't flap in the wind. Those blocks are rigid. They're stiff. They don't make noise. And I've had times where I've gone to bed at night in either an igloo or in a snow house. It was calm and comfortable and wonderful. I sleep through the night. I wake up. It's time to get up, you know, and you're just you know, getting up to the world, and you come outside, and my goodness, there's this terrific blizzard blowing out there. The snow is going sideways. The wind is howling. You didn't even know what was going on because it was so calm and still down inside. That's the beauty of being inside of a snow structure. Of course, the most eloquent one of all is the igloo. And the igloo is the structure that the Eskimos learned to build, and it's absolutely an engineering genius that did this, because here you have what you would describe as being a shell-type construction. It's a thin shell, and it's built without any scaffolding or any support. It's self-supporting from the ground up. Now, it's hard to describe this to you, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on the igloo, but it's made by cutting these blocks, and it's not one course laid on top of another course on another course like you would with putting up a brick silo, because if you try and do that, all you have is a silo. It's literally where it's one continuous course of blocks that spirals up on top of the lower course, and you cut a ramp on the bottom end. If you study an igloo and the drawings of them, if you look, I think some of the pictures that I have in the DVDs, if the other DVDs you get from us, you can see that you start making a course of blocks, you come around, and then where you're about to meet the first course on there, you take and you cut that down into a ramp, into a slope, and the next one just goes right up on top of it. You just keep spiraling on up, and as you do that, you're leaning them in, and you start studying it, and you see that it's actually gravity that's holding it up, because as it pulls the block down, as it's leaning over to make it fall, it's locking the corners in and pushing them together, very much like it's keyed all the way up. The last block you put in, and when I say the last one, even in the course before you're done, the last block up is actually the key block, and it's holding all the others up. As gravity pulls it down, it locks them together. Now, if you haven't seen it done, and you don't see the pictures, if you're now, you know, when we go in the field with people, we'll teach you how to build them. But just trust me, it's a wonderful, beautiful structure to build, a shell structure, self-supporting, keyed all the way up. And the great thing about it is you only have to move the amount of snow it takes to build the dome rather than the snow cave where you hollow it out, or the Quanche where you pile it up and then hollow it out. All you're doing is moving the amount of snow that it takes to build the structure itself. And you can make some that are quite large. We built some big ones. We built villages of them. You tie them together with spokes, really using the snow houses that ties into another one. You can have kind of a central meeting hall, if you will, and then you have bedrooms off to the side. It's a lot of fun to go out and do this. Here again, you're inside of a structure where it may be 10, 20, 30, 40 degrees below zero outside. The wind may be blowing and you're inside, and it's relatively warm, you know, 20, 30 degrees warmer, and you're out of the wind. So using the snow, don't look at the snow as something to be afraid of. If you understand the snow and how to work with it, not only is it fun, it's a great way to live. Here's the other thing about living in a snow house or an igloo. If you've been there for 3 or 4 days, you know, and the floor gets kind of dirty and things get a little bit ugly as you spill a little bit of your food or those kinds of things. You don't have to clean house. Just move over a little ways and build another one. Now it's all nice and clean. Well, so much for snow structures. Let's go to something that may be a little more normal for you. And we'll be talking about your home and how you might take care of that home, your regular, if you will, your wooden igloo that you would be using. So let's stay at home, and let's talk about shelter, and let's talk about heat a little bit. You know, I talk about the clothing as being the first line of defense and why you want to have clothing that will allow you to live in it for long periods of time. What if you have your house? The house is still there, you have windows and doors, and you have a structure, but you have no utilities. And what most people, a lot of people have come to understand just by experience is you might still have natural gas, or you might have propane, or you might have heating oil or other things, but the fact that you've lost electricity means that you can't always use those, because most of our furnaces, most of our heating systems, most of our automated systems use electricity. And if you lose the electricity, the fans and thermostats and things don't work, and the pumps don't work, and so it's just shut down. Now, you can solve that. You know, one way is to say, well, I'll have a little generator, and I'll produce some of my own power, and I can run my fans and my heaters and things, and that's fine. You can do that, but what do you do if the generator doesn't work? What do you do if you run out of fuel? Suppose it's a very extended outage, and you had 10 gallons of gasoline stored. By the way, most places only let you store about 5 gallons in most urban settings or less. And you had your fuel and you've burned it all up. Now what are you going to do? You're right back in the same place as though you'd never had a generator. That's why you want to have the proper clothing so that you can live in your house. Let the house get down to 10 degrees. If it gets to 10 degrees, it's fine. As long as you're warm, what do you care? That's where it goes back to the PALS clothing, to the inner thermal liners and TJs, things that I described to you you could make in earlier programs so that you're going to be taken care of. Well, let's go back to heating our homes and some auxiliary heat and those kinds of things. What might you do? Well, first off, we talk about having the things that you need. If it's in your shelter, here are some things you may want to have in your supplies. The 4-mil plastic sheet, I talked about it earlier, 12 foot by 12 foot. Well, you buy it in rolls of 100 foot long. It's 4 mil thick. I like to get the ones that's the natural or the clear, not the black. And what would you use it for around the house? Why would you have that? Well, you'd like to have some duct tape. You'd also like to have staple guns and staples. Because here's what you can do in a home. Let's say you have a home, and you're going to have a little bit of auxiliary heat. But you don't have a lot of auxiliary heat. Your whole house furnace is not working. We can use the plastic sheet, duct tape, and staple guns to cordon off areas, to close off some areas, so we have smaller areas we're keeping warm and let the rest of it get cold. So it's supplies like that that you may want to have. We'll talk about some more strategies for being at home comfortable and safe right after this break.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000 plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores, buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday, and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back as we continue preparing for and dealing with cold weather and winter and just enjoying it, no matter if the power's off or whatever may happen. As I was saying, some of the supplies that you may want to have and some of the tools to help take care of your house if you have a loss of heat event is plastic sheet, duct tape, and the staple guns and staplers and staples to go with them. Also, the plastic sheet, of course, is very useful if some event has occurred and you've busted a window. You know, in our area, we have potential for earthquakes here in the Rocky Mountains. They occur periodically. If you bust out the windows, the house is still there. And it's winter. It's like, well, we need to put something back temporarily. That's where your plastic sheet, duct tape, and staples come in to start closing up these openings in the side of the house. And to keep the winter wind from whistling through. So we're staying inside of our unheated wooden tent, if you will, or wooden igloo. And, of course, that's why you want to have the clothing that lets you do that. Other things that you may want to consider having for shelter, again, in a general sense, is maybe if you need to leave, then evacuation shelter would be good. High-quality, you know, tents that must stand up to continuous use, the mountaineering tents, would be a good thing to have. The simplest one that I told you about earlier is the 12-foot by 12-foot plastic sheet that lets you roll up your sleeping bag. Now, you're not inside of something that you can use as a structure, but it's where you can go to bed. And if you have the clothing that takes care of you out in the environment, then you just need that to go to bed. You can have tarps and ropes, and you can build your own tents if you have to. And then you think about, well, what about heating? What about having some auxiliary heat for whatever it is, whether it's your home at home or your mobile home away from home? We're going to be talking about the different appliances and the fuels and some of the safety issues surrounding them that's very, very important. So let me go back and emphasize. We just kind of get used to having these nice warm houses like I do, and certainly it's convenient to sit around in my shirt sleeves as I do right now, and I enjoy having a house that's, you know, 65 degrees inside or 70 degrees inside in my office. It's very comfortable to sit here like this. But I'm not threatened by the fact that I have no heat, because I'll just shift from my street clothes, if you will, and slide right into this very well-insulated clothing I can wear 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When I go to bed at night, you just take off the outer shell that I might be using to work in and just go to bed in this super underwear that's made from these open-cell polyurethane foam. Listen to previous classes on this. You can learn about building them, or you can even learn about those that are being put into production right now at foamclothing.com if you'd like to go there. In the future, these things will be available, but also you can buy through Foam Clothing the materials to make them with if you desire. But I think it's most important you learn how to do these things yourself, and that's why I like to teach people how to do it. So I can have my unheated house. Let my house get cold. I just keep me warm by having the right clothing, clothing that I have proven from my own experience, just like you need to do, proven by my own experience that I can sit around at 10 degrees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and be comfortable by what I'm wearing on my body, what's on my head, my hands, and my feet, and not worry about having a warm house. But we'll go back to the more comfortable way of doing things. I'll say the more conventional way of doing things to heat your house. We'll talk about some of those things right after our top of the hour break here and explore different appliances and different fuels and some of the safety issues around them. But remember, if you know how to swim, it doesn't make any difference how deep the water is. So, if you know how to stay warm, it doesn't really make any difference how cold it is. And if you understand how to work with different materials in different systems, whether you have a house or don't have a house, it won't make any difference. We'll continue right after this break. This is Jim Phillips, Prepare Without Fear.
Since 19... 19-